Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We're continuing our look through the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now we know that you're not saved by works. It's not what he is saying here. John Calvin wrote this: it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. In other words, your faith will produce works. That's what it's saying here. Verse number 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, it's inactive. He's not saying you're not saved. What he's saying is it's inactive. And it goes, he explains it a little bit better. Verse number 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Again, the works did not save him. Works does not justify you before God. It justifies you before man. Let that sink in. The difference between Romans and James is this. In Romans, you're justified before God. Remember, we looked at that. Now, therefore, being justified, we have peace with God. We looked at that in Romans 5:1. In Romans, it talks about being justified with God. In James, it talks about being justified before man. Man sees that work within you. So that's what Noah was, that preacher of righteousness, as we notice in as he was called. I have a note here, and I got time before getting to Abraham. Matthew chapter number 24, Jesus mentions Noah in the last days, and I want to correct some eschatology, okay? When people read Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, a lot of times they get confused and all, but you have to understand the context of Matthew 24 and 25. Jesus had just turned, some of y'all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Verse number 1, this is the context on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went out and just departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Man, Lord, ain't this something? This temple, Herod's temple that he's built, and all the buildings around. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down. Verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and saying, they asked 3 questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? Question number 2. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And question number 3. And the end of the world. As they were leaving Jerusalem at the temple, and he was going across the Kidron Valley, going to Mount, I can just imagine the disciples talking among themselves about what Jesus just said. What do you mean that temple's going to be destroyed? What is he talking about? So they get over there, and Jesus sat down upon the mount, and they asked him these questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming into the world? And then Jesus answered them, and he begins that wonderful message, what we call the Olivet Discourse. Now, I said all that to say this. During that Olivet Discourse in Matthew number 24, he talks about Noah, verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. Don't read any farther. He's not talking about the translation of the saints. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. Because if you get the background, verse number 29, and about the tribulation, and verse number 30, then there shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven, and see him in the clouds of great glory, all that. He's talking about the revelation. But in the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. Understand, he's not talking about the rapture or the translation. He's talking about the revelation when Jesus comes in his glory in Revelation 19:11. For as in the days of Noah, they, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse number 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The flood took who away? Who's the all? The who? The evil people. The flood took them away. All right? so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Again, let me go a little farther. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinded in the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Now, don't read any farther. A lot of people will refer this to the rapture, and you could put some of this stuff in the rapture because there are going to be some people taken and some people left. But he's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ here. When he comes, who's going to be taken off of this earth? During the evil ones. Remember, Jesus talks about in Revelation, Matthew 25, the wheat and the tares. He removes the tares from the wheat. Are y'all following? Yeah. This is yes, this is no. And this is, I have no idea what we're talking about. Okay, just a point of eschatology for y'all. When you get in Matthew 24, 25, he's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the revelation. He talks about the wheats and the tares and the others. So that when they enter into the kingdom, matter of fact, you find the judgment of the living nations in Matthew chapter number 25. He continues that thought where all the angels brings all the living to Jesus. And Jesus will, and he separates the sheep from the goats. Remember, you know, the sheep from the goats? He takes the goats, he says, depart from me, you're out of here. And the sheep enter to the millennium in their physical bodies. So you just kind of understand what he's talking about as it was in the, are we living as it was in the days of Noah? Are we living in a wicked world today? As we have never seen it in our life, in our lifetime. I would love to name some sins, but I hadn't even talked about Abraham yet. My dad would turn over in his grave if it was possible, if he could see what was taking place in America, in our own country. Men and women, and used to things were done in secret. Now, not only in the open, they proudly proclaim it. And if you voice anything against it, you're a hater. You're a bigot. If you say anything against them, well, whatever. You just, as it were in the days of Noah, I tell you, we're living in those days. We're in the last days. Well, I'm just telling you, in Matthew 24 and 25, it's going to get worse. When Jesus takes us out of here, I hope you're ready. But ready or not, here he comes. You know, as a kid, we used to play hide and seek. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. Ready or not, here I come. Jesus could come today. I'm practicing. Today. He could come today. Do you believe that? We're going to be out of here. What's going to be left are these wicked folk, all the believers. There's a whole other. But during the tribulation, they're going to be a lot of saved people, people who've never heard the gospel before. I wish I could. There are going to be more people saved in the tribulation period than at any point in that seven-year period than any time in history. 144,000 go out, the two witnesses, and people will not receive the mark of the beast and all this during the tribulation. Multitudes upon multitudes and multitudes to be saved. And these are the ones who've never heard the gospel. 2 Thessalonians says, chapter 2 says this, if they heard the gospel and they believed not because they received not the truth, they heard the gospel, they rejected the gospel. The Bible says this, and they shall be damned. That's an awful word. Because they received not the truth, they heard it. And there's no hope for them. But the people who've never heard, which is still half the world's population, still has not heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's in China or Africa or wherever it may be, you know, Middle Eastern countries or wherever it may be. I'm just throwing this out there. Still never heard it. And I'm going to say one more thing, and I didn't even get to Abraham. There's no excuse for anybody in America dying and going to hell. You know how many Baptist churches there are in the city of Winter Haven? I counted them. I don't know what it is now because some have closed and all. But a few years ago, I counted. There were 35, 37 Baptist churches in Winter Haven alone. On the outskirts of Winter Haven. There's radio. There's TV. There's the farm. I mean, there's the gospel. It's are people going to die and go to hell? Absolutely. But it's not because they don't have the opportunity to hear. Do y'all think I'm crazy?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.